What up, folks? Get Out the Room, episode 19. This is Get Out the Room, your horror podcast of all types of different pieces of tomfoolery. I'm your host, Day. And this week, I got a group of fantastic men that you all love. And you can't wait to hear from them every 2 weeks or however many times we decide to do the show. Can you say hello to my man, Ryan?
Nigga, who? I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry.
What?
I'm sorry. No, I thought somebody was knocking on my door and it wasn't. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Holy Start shit. The show with some piping hot racism.
I have to keep it. I can't edit that out. I gotta keep it. Oh shit!
It's sorry about started. That. Hello.
Ooh, holy shit! Oh man. And next up, I got my man Scott.
Yeah, I don't know how I'm gonna follow that, so I'm just gonna say hello. God.
Oh fuck! And the greatest American hero and newfound Thundercat Tony is here.
Ho.
And last but not least, fighting off the monkeypox, my man Carl from Connecticut.
What's up? Firecracker is in the house.
Firecracking. So just to let you know, Get Out the Room, we are available on iTunes. You can search for us in the iTunes store. Please go to the store. Subscribe, it's free, so it don't cost you nothing.
Comments, we would love to see them comments. Let us know how we're doing, let us know how we're not doing, let us just be neutral about it. But comments,
yep. And I know some how offended you are. I know some of y'all got iPhones, so you can go right into your little iPhone, subscribe right in your phone, and take us wherever you want to go. So, no excuses there. We have a Facebook fan page, you can go there. We're on Podomatic at getouttheroom.podomatic.com. We are on Stitcher.
Stitcher!
Hey, for everyone, y'all know we on Stitcher, so come on with that. We are also part of the Wicked Radio Network.
Wiki.
A lot of really good podcasts are over there. Those guys do a lot of, you know, a lot of really good things in terms of different aspects of horror. And there's a couple other non-horror podcasts that are just fun. Couple cats sitting in a room drinking, talking. So that's always good for you to do. And also, you can go check out our man Tony over at DirtyHorror.com for the latest reviews, news, and all kinds of stuff going on in the horror community. He's pretty much our guy. He's authority. He stamped of approval by us, so go ahead.
He's on top of things.
Yeah, he's always on top of it. Shout out to our man Wayne Booth, who gave us our next listener request, and he wanted us to do the Cube. So,
Cube is
good. Legit.
So yeah. The next show we're gonna do the Cube. So shout out to Wayne Booth for that. You know,
are we doing just the one, or are we doing the sequel too?
Well, shit. I mean, if y'all want to get into it, we can find them. We can do both.
I think there's actually. I think there's also a prequel.
I think there might be three.
I think there's
Cube, three
Cube two and then Cube zero.
Lafar.
There's yeah.
And then there's Gleaming the Cube, which has nothing to do with any of it.
I remember that movie.
Was that Christian Slater?
You bet your ass.
Yes, it was.
Ha!
Yep.
Low budget Jack Nicholson. Go ahead.
Speaking all right, of Christian.
He's the new shark jumper for TV shows. You want to end the series? Put Christian Slater in it.
That's fucked up, man.
True.
It's true.
It's true.
That's fucked up. We come with the steaming hot racism and hate early in the show. Speaking of reviews, we got one from Pierre Proximate Grundy. I think he had made a review earlier and decided that he wanted to give the show a real listen and come back and review it again. We appreciate that. The review is really enjoy the podcast. It has been insightful and comedic at times, to say the least. Great job. Keep it up, guys. So that's cool. You know, there's somebody who's actually listening, and, you know, they stay with us. So we appreciate that. Let's get right into the television. The Walking Dead this evening. has, like I've said this for anyone who follows the at Get Out the Room Twitter account, because we're all on Twitter. I said this show consistently impresses me with their acting, as of recent, by the way. This particular episode, I thought Glenn was great. Obviously,
Maggie was great.
Maggie was great. Obviously, Andrew Lincoln is Rick, Michonne. Although her scowling and not answering shit starting to wear a little thin. I know, Scott, you've been complaining about that since they first.
Well, you know, for such a great character, because she still is has the badass shit on lockdown. The I don't know, her character development is just, it's stuck in this. You know, like when they were questioning her on tonight's episode, she was just still giving them that dirty ass look, and you know, just start talking, develop. Let's learn something about her. They need to get the ball rolling with her.
I'm gonna maintain that's still just an example of people really not knowing how to write for Black people on television, no matter what it is. They don't know. It's like you really just don't know what to give her. It's either she gonna be angry or you're gonna give her something, and it focused on her being angry at the moment. That's fine, but. You know, there's more to her. Give me something more. Like, I would love to know. Give me a throwaway line about how she became who she was. Something.
Yeah.
You know? It's just, it kind of, I'm with you, too. Like, she's badass, and she's probably, honestly, I would put Arlie, she's probably one of the, like, strongest women on the show.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but it's like, you know, you haven't given anything into. You've given Maggie a backstory. You've given Carol backstory. Lori's hated ass had a backstory. Where's Michonne? You know, like, give me something. Something.
Yeah. I mean, that. I guess to play devil's advocate, that's part of the allure of her. She's a badass with no type of history whatsoever. All you know is that you don't fuck with her.
Right.
So,
well, even if they made it a mystery, though, I mean, you know, I've related Michonne to Wolverine, for example, and Wolverine, part of his appeal is that you learn slowly about his past. We haven't learned shit about her.
Yeah.
I mean,
but we learned that the governor has a wife or had a wife.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, right. I mean, we're getting bits and pieces even of that motherfucker, and we can't even get a bit. Ryan said a throwaway line. Something. Just throw it something.
I mean, this dude has a daughter that's a walker that he just keeps. So, you know,
yeah,
we got a lot from him, so to speak.
Because she's a backstory away, though, from being on that. You know, I've been saying this since the beginning, from being on that, you know, top list, from being that classic character. I mean, we get her fleshed out. She's on that list for good.
Yeah. No, we'll see. You know, I think, was that the mid-season finale, or is next week's mid-season?
Next week is.
Next week's mid-season finale.
Okay. All I'm saying is Merle has to die.
Most definitely. And if they don't all do that shit,
like, I swear to God, like, Merle needs to die.
I don't think it's going to happen, man. I think if you're going to continue to keep with the amount of suspense that, you know, you have with these two sides, you got these two brothers who are conflicted, and they're on opposite sides of the fence, you kind of have to keep them alive.
For a certain point, you ain't got to keep them alive for the rest of the series, but Merle's got to go after all this, Merle has to go.
But you can't have them meet in one episode and one of them go. Like, that just can't happen.
Well, I would love to talk about how dumb they are making Andrea look right now. Like, they show the governor about 3 seconds away from raping homegirl, and I think the only thing that stopped him was the fact that she wasn't going to play into his little game. She was like, you know what, I'm not going to sit here and beg, I'm not going to cry, you do what you got to do.
You know what, like, though, man,
she ain't no fun.
She ain't screaming enough.
No, she's like, no, I'm not worried about it. So he tries to comfort her in front of Glenn. And maybe not even 5 minutes later, he's talking to Andrea and says the exact same words in the exact same cadence and the exact same tone to comfort Andrea as he tried to do to comfort my homegirl. And she just bit that shit like hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, Andrew needs that dick. She ain't had it in a while. She getting it. She, you know, don't know no better.
I'm going to need her to control her ovaries for a minute, though. I really
need her. But that's what this is. But just, yeah, she just. And that's an Andrew's another character, like someone who should be on paper as strong as hell, but how they did her. She ended up being, for the whole, first couple seasons, she was really weak and kind of pointless. It was like, they made her do, like, she was a smart, dumb character. Andrew was a smart, dumb, like, smart character, just made consistently dumbass decision after dumbass decision. And it was just like, you know, I get it, you know, they have these strong women on the show. I understand you're going to a certain place, you're moving along story-wise, but you know, like, you gotta do more than this, like, I get it, Andrea ain't been with no man in a while. I get it. She needs to get hers. She ain't got hers. Can we get to the point where she realizes that Glenn and Maggie are on her in Woodbury? Like, can we get there? Don't drag this out.
I think what the show is exposing is that they're showing that your character is your character. You're either strong or you're weak, and that's just the way it is. Now, Andrea, you can teach her. You can teach her how to. Well, whom has grown? Whom has grown? See, that's the thing. I don't think Glenn has grown. I think Glenn was a strong character.
I think
who
he
didn't have shit to do.
Punk.
He learned
skills. I think he
skills.
Was a scared punk in the beginning.
He was.
And
he grew up.
He grew some testicles. Now, I'm not sure if that's because the writing changed hands.
This is the same dude who did a suicide mission in Atlanta in the very beginning of the series.
But he was scared
Glenn,
as shit. He wasn't
being scared doesn't make you not being scared does not make you weak. It makes you smart. You should be scared if you run into a city full of infested with zombies.
I give you
with
that,
nothing.
Absolutely. But he wasn't. If you picking two or three people to go ride or die with him, you wasn't picking Glenn in the beginning.
I would now. Shit. I most definitely would now.
That's the point I'm trying to make right there.
But what I'm saying is that inherent character trait in him was there. You know, like I said, he was scared, but he still ran into Atlanta to do it. Now, through time, through training, through whatever, you know, now he's embraced his inner real nigga, and I'm happy for that. But it was always there. He always had a real nigga deep down inside of him.
Second racism moment of the night.
This month's real nigga moment goes to Glenn. I just gotta.
It really does though. Because he was cracking up Walker out, still tied to the fucking chair.
Tied to the chair.
Right? It was
broke the chair off and then screamed.
But didn't break the chair. But did, even before that point, he was still in the chair fucking that Walker up. Come on now.
Come on. I gotta hand the man my black card. Like, I salute him.
For real.
I salute him.
You gotta have to get it from your wife first, right?
Oh. No, she ain't got that one. I got to. She's got to play one. I keep the real one on me at all times. You never know when you might get that.
Well, if you was in the streets, you might have got caught for saying some shit.
All right, now, hey, are we gonna take odds on the next week's the finale for the fall? Are we taking odds on who's gonna die?
I can do that.
Somebody's gonna die. It's one of
I know who it is.
Guys, one of these people is gonna die. You gotta guess, Carl.
Yep. Glenn.
Well, I actually thought Glenn was gonna die this episode because I actually think Glenn is my pick too.
No, I think Gail and the producer, pretty much is alluded to the fact that Glenn and Maggie are gonna be around for a little while. So I'd be shocked if they take him out. But I don't think he's going just yet. He probably will at some point, but not, I don't think, unless they just turn around and just want to shock people, right. I don't think he's going anywhere just yet. Because Glenn and Maggie are pretty much, essentially, they are the heart of the show, apparently, in terms of a couple, relationship couple. That's kind of how, like, that's really kind of what they are. So, I don't know. Who knows? They can turn next week, and they can take them both out and be done with it.
If anyone dies, I would say it's going to be one of the red shirts. You know, one of those last stowaway prisoners.
Yep.
One or both of them are going to die. Yep. I don't think any of the main characters. We lost too many already, so I don't think
they're going to take it. Because they didn't even show the white prisoner. Did they even show him this episode?
Yeah, he hid them when they left.
He was there for a little bit.
He said he was going to go with them. He was like, I'll go. The black dude was like, I'm here.
He just closed the gate behind him.
No. Here's the funny shit. He offered to go, and the black dude was like, nah, I'm going to stay. And then they were like, nope, black dude, you're coming. White dude, you're staying. What?
Wouldn't you make that choice? I was going to say, like, you know what, homie? You can stay here. I'm going to take home dude with me.
Well, I mean, but the black dude is like, he looks like he could fight. The white guy just looks like a, you know.
He a white tee dog.
Right, but that motherfucker got to prison for a reason, so don't sleep.
Right.
Yeah, I don't mean that he can be white. That could be white collar crime.
Hey, it's a lot of white folks, and it's a lot of folks in jail, period, for, you know, possession. He could have just got
mass possession. I mean, I done seen them locked up on MSNBC on the weekends. This is, they be showing a lot of white folks.
Mm-hmm. Not in this show. I think either both of the red shirts or possibly the black dude, because the news, aren't they going to introduce Michonne's boyfriend?
Well,
yeah.
Boyfriend eventually, but right. they've been rumored that Tyrese is going to pop up. So what's the black guy's name? His name is Oscar. Is that right?
Yeah.
I think Oscar is going to be. I think it's going to be one of that, one or multiple of them, and they're going to kill the main character. Maybe not.
Think Glenn, a main character's going.
They're going to be somebody.
But who are the main characters would even go though?
Well, exactly. You know, I try to think of
Carol. They might take Carol.
Carol, that's true. Although they just brought her back.
I'm about to say they've been fucking with Carol a whole season.
I don't know. I mean, Herschel's not a main cast member.
Neither is his daughter.
Doc.
Yeah, they that's true, too. So maybe one of them would be the bone they throw us. But
Herschel's a medic, man. You can't kill a medic.
Yeah, you can.
Because of, you know, and now I'm just going by the rules here. He's not a main cast member. Neither's Carol, actually. She's not listed as a main cast member either, so.
Well, we'll see.
We can't necessarily go by like who's a main cast member, who's not, because with the credits they put in who's ever going to be in that episode, like who's going to be main character of that episode. Because she's popped up, the one who played Kara's popped up in the opening credits in the past. So it really depends on whoever depends on whoever's going to be in the major storylines. I mean, even though we know certain people are going to be. In every episode, like we know Rick's gonna be in every episode. You know, we know that Michonne will obviously be in the cast, will be in every episode, whatever. But I mean, other people, they kind of sub them out in and air.
Yeah, her, Merle, and the Governor, their names have been there since this season started.
Right. So I don't know. I mean, well, who knows? I mean, I don't know. You know, we won't really know until next week. Hell, for all we know, won't nobody die?
Yeah, that's true too.
They, you know, they'll fake you out in that regard too.
T Dog already took that out.
Yeah, well, how do we think that's gonna play out? I mean, does Rick succeed? Does he take down the governor? Are they forcing him some sort of weird detente?
I actually think a good way to finish this first part of the season is showing how Merle and Daryl clash and possibly, you know, have Rick and his group get captured by Woodbury. You know, think of it like maybe Daryl has a change of heart in the second half of the season after turning on Rick and them early on, and then he's the one that breaks them out at the second half of the season, because nobody at the prison can really get them out if they get captured in Woodbury.
I was going to say, like, all the muscle is gone, dude.
Right. So it might be this is when we see Merle and Daryl clash to a point where maybe Daryl plays his brother for a fool, and we don't know that until the second half of the season. So he's like, he turns on Rick, they get captured, and then they all get out. And, I, you know, I don't know, because if they get captured, they're screwed.
Yeah, they're not walking away from that one. Not at all.
We'll see. Maybe Rick will lose his hand. So Walking Dead, still very good. A lot of stuff going on. You know, the governor does not just play just the tip, so.
Hey, can I tell you just how very relieved I was? I was like, man, please don't rape her. Don't rape her. I was so happy that did not happen.
Well, you
know, happen this episode.
They played perfectly because they made you think right up until that moment that he was, and it still was creepy.
Scary, man.
Yeah, Rape dude, is bad. Dude is he's so evil. I cannot wait till they cap his ass. I really cannot.
I think you got to
do it. I hope they do it the way they did in the comics, though. That's really how he should go out.
Hell yeah.
That's how he should go out, really. Like, Abe, they need to go there.
That's where you can really develop the Governor Michonne a lot.
Yeah, so I mean, that's really how the Governor should go out. Like, seriously.
Well, we will find out, won't we? Walking Dead, next week, mid-season finale. We'll make it work. Let's move on to Grimm, which, after some really great episodes with Russell Hornsby, a.k.a. Hank, being all over it, all of a sudden he gets beat up early on because Adeline Shade returns. And, you know, we get an episode where nothing really happened. The biggest thing is basically Nick finds out that Captain Reynard is the royal living in Seattle or Portland.
Who's trying to fuck his wife.
Right. Trying to fuck his wife. Also tried to kill him and his aunt and the whole deal. That he is the big bad that he's been looking for the entire season, or the entire series, really. That is his captain. So, yeah.
I'm telling you, they're listening to us. They're not going to kill the captain. We know that. It's not going to kill the captain. So now they know about each other, and they're going to be forced to deal with each other, just like we talked about on the podcast. Yeah. So I really want them to just send me a check. It don't have to be a big one. You know, 50 cents or something like that. Just, you know, send
a bill. Nigga, do you know how much they get paid? Nigga, stop lying. You might want to rethink that, really.
Just give me a credit. That's all I'm saying. Just give me some credit.
They'll probably just credit, get out the room. We're not going to get personal credits.
Right. I'm going to make a new picture for this podcast. This is N-Words for Days Part 2.
Absolutely. There's N-Words all over this. So
but Grimm was good though. I just, you know, for me, it's like, still, once again, they don't, you know, it's like, I get it, I see where they're going, but they don't, you know, Juliet ain't got shit to do. They're gonna get rid of her, or she's gonna have to make a better decision, or I say they make her a creature herself. Like, she has to be something, and she has to be someone that doesn't even know.
I don't see how her character survives this arc. I mean, I just don't see it. I mean, you could say that she's, and when I say survive, I don't mean like they're gonna kill her off. I just think they might write her off, because you could say that she was suffering from the fascination due to the spell and all that, and that's cool. But she has been a real asshole to Nick.
Yeah, we're talking outside about the last of that. Thing. You can't be mad at Nick for you not remembering anything. That's you.
Right. She called him in Captain Attitude. Can we talk about the fact that she copped an attitude with dude after she got found out for cheating on him?
Seriously.
Like, wait a minute. You know, you can make all the jokes you want about me handling my Negro card. But if I catch you slipping, you ain't catching, you're not copping not damn amount of attitude with me. Not even a little bit. Don't fix your face to look at me crazy. Don't poke your lip out. Better not be no huffing your tone. No, that's not happening.
It's true.
So
get both eyes looking in the same direction.
Yeah, you better get your whole situation straight before you come talking to me.
No, I feel what you're saying.
Lazy eyes and all of that.
Well, the other thing is, her actions just seem completely contrary to her character up until this point.
Exactly. This is a prime example of, like, really them not knowing what to do. Or as I call it, the Kim Bauer syndrome. You know, they didn't know what to do. Remember 24, they didn't know what to do with Kim Bauer, so they put in all these crazy situations that made no sense.
And she would go away for three seasons at a time and show?
Right. And you can come back and have this different, have an attitude with her father and do all this dumb shit. That's what they're doing with Juliet.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. It's like, you know, you had her be a certain way, y'all can all of a sudden give her all this attitude and have her do something totally different, and it makes no sense. Like, she really isn't part of the narrative of the show. Like, really, she's not.
The show. That's the
right. She's not. Part. She's really. She truly. She's not. It's realistically. She's not. It's like, what is the point? I mean, because if you need a human to be on that show, Hank is that person.
Yeah.
Hank is clearly more essential than Juliet
to the story. Absolutely.
Right.
You know, after they get over Reynard and this whole infatuation thing, and they just get to the point where, you know, we're only doing you other shit, because, you know, Adeline Shade, she got added as a recurring character basically for the rest of the series for however long she's going to be there. So, you know.
All I can say, dude, is Monroe's girlfriend is three states away, and we see her for 40 seconds an episode, and she's got, those two have more chemistry than Nick and his woman ever had.
Absolutely.
Agreed.
Right? Agreed. Exactly.
That's I can't.
And that's why she's a series regular. That's why she's a series regular. I mean, yep. Come on now. Essential.
But I mean, there's the romance. That's the only romance we need to have in this effing TV that's show.
So those two.
I would agree. I don't think we need Nick to have a love interest at all.
Or if they're going to go there, he doesn't have to be. He could totally hook up random people here and there. I mean, shit.
Exactly.
They do a romantic show, right?
They don't all have to be his living girlfriend.
Right, they could have potential hooking up with a, you know, somebody, you know, a Grimm hooking up with another beast or whatever, like, you know, or something
hooking up with another Grimm, something.
Right, something, you know. I mean, like I said, get rid of Juliet, bring his mama back full time, because we need Mary Elizabeth Master Antonio on that show. Seriously, bring her back.
We have something, man, because right now the show, Juliet is just blowing me. Like, she had the nerve to cop attitude in front of Adeline. She's like, do you want to talk to Nick? Because do you realize this is the first one that just fucking got you?
Do you realize this is the reason why you had your ass? She's the reason why you can't remember shit?
And you shouldn't.
Besides the fact that you trying to come attitude with Adeline, she's a beast. She could just scratch your face off. Stop.
The thing that killed me was she's like, you use me, Nick. I'm like, bitch, I'm a cop. Like,
that's my job.
Exactly. Like, You understand I'm putting her ass in jail, right? Like, this is my job. Like,
I just saved your motherfucking ass.
I saved your motherfucking ass from being eaten alive by a hexen beast. Stop. What
the fuck is wrong with you? Shut up. She blew me this episode. I turned to my wife. I was like, I don't know, dog. This shit right here. Mm-hmm. This ain't it. He was like, I'm looking out for you. She's like, well, don't. Bitch, fuck that. Give me all my shit. You know what? I'm gonna leave the door open.
Right? Right? Don't. Okay, you know what? When your ass gets ate up by the dragon that I saved you by last time, how about I just call that motherfucker and have him take you again? Because you're fucking worthless. She's so fucking trifling.
And then maybe just throw her out the house. Shit. Well,
and
that's
you gonna leave these motherfuckers to the trailer? You gonna leave these motherfuckers to the trailer?
Actually, that's the birds.
Oh, no, I'm saying, that's why I say, he gonna leave the house and leave the door open when he leave. Fuck that. Mm-mm. And she gave them an exact fucking location of the trailer. I can't fuck with that. Whatever.
I was done.
Whatever. So Grimm is in mid-season hiatus at this point.
They'll be back in January.
They'll be back, so we get into that.
But did you see what they show for the rest of the season? The whole, like, they showed her shooting somebody and shit. I was like, seriously?
Shit, I was hoping it was herself.
Man. If she ain't turning a gun on herself, I know.
That's how I'm feeling. She ain't putting that shit in her mouth? Nope.
Right?
We can keep it moving.
Put it between your eyeballs and get it popping. Do us all a favor.
Right. Yeah. So, Grimm.
Again, we are talking about the character in the show.
Right.
I think that's obvious. We ain't talking about Bitsy Tulloch. It's not her. It's not her. It's not Bitsy. It's just how they do her character.
It's the writing. Yeah, no. And I will say that I don't think that she's horribly acted. At least now that they're no longer a romantic item. When they were a romantic item, I have to be honest. There was no chemistry there for me. So I would say that there was
something I said early on with them. It was like, with those two, they just wasn't chemistry either. Like, she wasn't in him. He's not in her. Like, there was nothing.
Yeah, there was nothing there at all.
I'm pretty sure this is why they wrote this arc this way. Because they realized that they have more chemistry and conflict
than being in love.
Well, I agree, but and so I will say now that this is no longer an acting issue; it's a writing issue. Like they just wrote her horribly,
I mean, I think they wanted to have a damsel in distress on hand for the Grimm, and it shit ain't work out. Mm-mm. Let's move past Grimm. We didn't stomp this in the ground. We're gonna move on to American Story. This past episode was the evolution of Bloody Face.
Yo, can I just?
I love. Wait, did he hold on? Did he really look at Teddy?
Yes.
I was like, I literally had my glasses off, put them back on, and took them off again because I was like, is he really licking?
That was one of those first you had to all, turn away and just no.
That wasn't even a lick. That was a whole. That was a whole mouth suckle.
He went ham.
Oh, yes. I was like, what?
He went ham on the titty.
Yes, he did.
He went ham on the titty.
He went nuts. And the thing that killed me was he said, baby needs colostrum.
Yeah, that blew me away.
I was like, what? I was done. And all of that.
I literally fell on the floor, like literally just was on the edge of the bed, just let myself fall on the floor and was just banging the floor like, are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, that was a bit much.
I was like, Ryan Murphy, stop that.
They are putting my girl through it. Like, she is catching bad one after bad one after bad one.
And to me, I'm just hoping if they're going to do this whole, she's going to catch it. Hopefully, she's going to just basically somehow get the strength to kill his ass. Because I just feel like all this, they can't just do all this and just have him kill her. Like, she has to fight this motherfucker out, something. Like, I don't see it happening.
I mean, the doctor, he is a doctor. He's like, what? He's got to be at least 6'1", 6'2". I mean,
that don't mean shit.
But he's a big dude, and she's like, I don't know, can't be much taller than 5'5". I mean,
well, I mean, come on, like, scream. Like, now, come on, Nev Campbell was whipping motherfuckers' asses left and right, Nat. Come on, it can be done.
Trust me. Nev Campbell.
Right? As little as she was whooping dudes, I was 6'2". Come on,
I just love the fact that was your frame of reference. Like, that was your point of reference. To prove your point, he was like, man, Campbell, fuck the Bama's up.
I'm just saying. I mean, that was my frame of reference. Shit. They about the same height. There you go.
No, you're right.
But it's just, you know, I mean, at first I didn't like her character because all the dumb shit she was doing. Then when she really got hip to and figured out what was going on, now I'm rooting for her to like survive somehow. She probably won't, but at least don't let her go out being like completely humiliated and all this mess and him, the shit he's doing to her. Like, let her get some licks in. Like, he will probably kill her, but let her fuck him up in the process.
But you know what, though? I will say this, though. She's doing a pretty good job of manipulating him. And I think if she survives at all, that's how she's going to do it. She really is using her head in this circumstance. So, I mean, I was impressed with her presence of mind to pull that off in that moment. But, man, it was a tough scene to watch.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that he has her girlfriend on ice, like, that alone should be, like, a word.
That's horrible.
Like, gotta compartmentalize,
We trying to get that life.
She didn't get that life in the back of her mind. Think, okay, if I get out of this, I'm running an ice pick through his neck. That's like really.
Like, but on the flip side, I mean, her girlfriend's the reason why she's in the institution in the first place. That too. She knows that too.
I mean, I get that, but still,
gave her the fuck up and skated.
True, but still, though. I mean, for me, it's like, I get all that, but, like, really, it should be, yeah, compartmentalized. It should be about that life. But, hey, get your licks in, too.
Hey,
Nothing wrong with a little bit of revenge. I feel all that,
but the best licks you can have is by living. Fuck all the bullshit. True.
But wouldn't it be fucked up if, you know, remember they kept showing the stuff in the present? Wouldn't it be fucked up if she was a smiley face in the present?
I was thinking that.
Well, didn't they show dude standing up when he was about to work on a girlfriend?
Well, they just showed somebody. They had the mask on.
Yeah, it was also like the same body type as
That don't mean shit. You can make anybody look like anybody with CGI. I mean, for all we know, I mean, yeah, he dabbles his, you know, we know that he's skinny, but I mean, shit, we don't, you know, come on, look, Friday the 13th.
Yeah, no, I got you.
Like, we, you know, we had no idea that was, you know, basically was his mother.
Yeah, I got you, but, you know, I'm not trying to go that far with a leap. With this show, you never know.
Come on, motherfuckers going there, was trying to do the reincarnation leap before with the last season of this one. It was like, nah.
True. I mean, they're, nothing's off the table with this show.
Nothing. Jesus Christ.
Nothing off the table.
But can we just say that she is putting in, Sarah Paulson is putting in that motherfucking work?
Oh, yeah, no, she was actually
doing work. Damn, she is putting in that work. I know she'll never get nominated.
Everybody on the show is doing
work. I mean, it's just goddamn.
Yeah. Oh, man, can I say this, though? The scene between Sister Mary Eunice. Not, was it Mary? Which one is the cute one? Yeah. Sorry.
Mary Eunice.
Okay, yeah.
So the Mary, she ain't sitting on
no, she ain't sitting on a goddamn thing. You're right about that. But yeah, the conversation between Sister Mary Eunice and the little girl, man, that shit was creepy.
That was creepy as shit.
And then it was cool because she was talking to her in like a little girl's cadence while she is saying the evilest shit in the world. Like it was really good.
She's like, go ahead and keep killing, but she told her in code.
Yeah, and then when they do the cutaway and they show mom and mom, you know, with a knife sticking out her back. And homegirl's using that same lame ass story about the man with the beard and a brown coat. Yep. So I said, man, this is insane.
Yeah, that joint was crazy, man. And then, you know, obviously, Otto Alden, was it Hans Gruber?
Yeah, yeah.
That dude, he won. he stayed winning that whole episode. But, you know, can we talk about how much of a punk Joe Fiennes turned out to be?
He's, you know what, less no shade. He seems to have make a career out of playing weak ass punks in the movies for real.
Yeah, he punked. He bitched up real quick on Didn't dude. He? Like it Didn't was he amazing. Though?
He bitched all the way up.
I mean, it was a complete 180 in like 3.8 seconds. Dude pulled out faster than a Porsche. Like I was like, God damn.
He just bitched up. I was like, wait a minute, hold on. You just gave up on everything?
That quick? No, you're not even going to bluff?
Right. You ain't going to buck it. Just like, nah, we're done here. Okay, then. You scared? You scared?
Be upstairs.
Why? You must be scared.
Right. Man, some scurry shit.
Which means they're probably towards the end, he'll probably get, if he dies, he will probably be spectacularly murdered at the end of the show.
But I will say he was not scared of no TB though. He was like, I'm gonna touch everybody.
Right?
The power of Christ compels you. Like, motherfucker, you know that brother got TB, right?
I was thinking that same thing, like, why are you all up in dude's face?
And then old girl who knew, you know, the nymphomaniac who he just completely did terribly wrong.
Yeah, he just suffocated her. You know, that was probably the nicest thing he could
have done. Oh, no. I'm not saying. I don't think he did her a fucking favor. I think he did her a favor.
Now, can you imagine the therapy bills that girl who found her is going up to pay? Can you imagine seeing that shit crawling up the stairs? On recess? Oh, man.
Recess after lunch? Oh, Lord.
You know that stomach is empty now.
Yeah, she might not eat for a week after that.
Okay.
Gee. So, yeah, American Horror Story is still doing big things.
Everybody is putting in that work on that show.
Jessica Lange. Jessica Lange is incredible. I like her so
much. I mean, there's the thing is, like, there's not a weak link at all. No, even fucking Mark Consuelos, of all people, put it in. But a little couple. Yeah, he was patient, remember, at the beginning?
Yeah.
Was he the one that Sarah Paulson's character was giving a hand job to when he was Silent had her going through the conversion therapy a couple episodes ago?
No. He was the dude in the closet that was jacking off to Sister Mary Eunice.
Yes.
That
who showed him her beaver. It was a quick cut. I don't know if you even saw it.
What the fuck is going on in this show that you guys are watching?
That's what I'm
You need to catch up. You need to catch up.
stuff, yeah.
Did they actually show it? I didn't see it. Did they actually show it?
Yeah, it was a quick cut. She opened her leg. It was like a half a second cut. It's like a flash cut.
I erased that on my DVR. I was going to go back and check it out right now.
Oh, I did, but I think I can catch it on.
Yeah, you go do that, Scott. Go check for that beaver.
Sister, I mean, they sexing up Sister Mary Eunice.
I was about to say, don't.
Now she down the devil that went up in them sugar walls. She getting it in.
Oh, them sweet sugar walls, you know.
Hey, they might not be sweet anymore. Devil done ran all through that shit. It might taste like battery acid at this point.
Shit, you know.
It tastes like unsweet cereal. It's still good. Like wheat. It's good for you, but it doesn't taste good.
Wow. It's not sugary anymore.
But it's still good. Huh?
But it's still good.
You get your nutrients either way.
You're definitely going to get some nutrients. So, yeah, American Horror Story. As you can hear by Carl's reaction, the show is just doing absolutely crazy things, and they're not scared. They're not scared in the least.
You're not scared of a damn thing.
They're going to go as far as the FX budget is going to take them. So, yeah. Great show. Y'all should check that out. Tony, you and Ryan still up on American Horror Story. So let's move on to Supernatural.
Yeah, I got to say, I mean, it might be too early to queue up the LL, but I think they might be trying to make a comeback because this last ep was fucking fantabulous. I mean,
it was, but it still
really
was.
Did it.
Yeah, but still, like, you know, where are they going to go with this, though?
Well, I mean, the whole show was about this. The whole show really has been about the search of God, the search for God, and they are hinting hard that they might that God might actually still be in the picture at this point. So, I mean, that was enough to buy me in for the rest of the season to see where they're gonna go, because that motherfucker's been missing for a long time.
But wouldn't it be interesting if what's his name? What was it, Kevin? If Kevin turned out to be God after all this?
See, my thought was that it was going to be their dad, you know, Jeffrey Dean Morgan. That was my thought, that he was going to be the one that was dad, that was God. That was going to be my, that was always my hypothesis, especially when later on we found out that Jeffrey Dean Morgan had handed Dean down an artifact that glows in the presence of God, that it's the only way that you can find God when he's not trying to be found. And I thought, why did that motherfucker have that? You know, like, why did he have that around his neck all the time? So that made me always think that, because I don't know if you remember, the first two seasons, they were looking for him. They were looking for their dad.
That is right.
And then in the middle two seasons, they were looking for God because they needed help with the apocalypse. And then finally, God sent them a message and said, look, I know you're looking for me. I'm not coming. Back off. And so my thought was always like, okay, you know, eventually when they do find him, it's going to be their dad. Like, that's
going to be. But remember that one season, remember they opened the, what you call it, opened the portal to hell, and the father came out. Remember that?
That's true. So, but you remember when they tried to break, Dean, they needed that seal to be broken. They needed a good man to turn bad in hell. And they alluded to the fact that they had his dad in there, and they had him up on the racks for 100 years, and he never broke. So, I don't know. I don't know. And isn't there a story about one, like, if Moses or Abraham actually descending into hell, if I recall correctly?
I think so.
Maybe it was Jesus. I can't quite remember, but there's a biblical mythology there. So I think, I don't know. I think, I mean, they might not, that was the original, that was underneath the original team. That was Kripke and them. And so that might be abandoned. I don't know. But that was always my little theory of what was going to happen. And all this is inside baseball, because I know none of these motherfuckers watch this show. So I'm just going to say that I may have to eat my words on the last proclamation that they needed to pack it in, because that last episode alone has got me to at a point where I
It was episode, what, 5 or 6?
God, I don't even know. Honestly, I don't even
they
know.
Got 18 or 19 more to go. They can fuck it up easily between now and the end of the season. Oh, trust.
The very next episode. I mean, they really could, but it looks promising right now. And I see they got my girl from Stargate on there. I was like, okay, girl.
They got who?
Naomi, the secretary.
I didn't really watch Stargate. What was her? Amanda Tapping. Yes.
Yeah, Amanda Tapping.
Yeah, using her actual British accent.
Mm-hmm. Amanda Tapping. Woo. Anyway, I just had a moment.
Good Lord. But yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, all right. Because I remember she was on Sanctuary, right? Yep. Sci-fi?
Using her accent there, too.
Yeah, okay, cool. Wow, this, it could be, who knows? We'll see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you get her, then y'all really ain't going for no bullshit.
Right. Just the fact that she's involved makes me think that might be something kind of important. And who else could actually alter Cass's memory? Unless even his more powerful angels couldn't do that.
Right.
So who's gonna be able to want to be like, yeah, we pulled you up in an instant. We're gonna interview you. You don't have that option. You have to participate, and we're gonna change your memory so that you don't even remember this happening. Who could do that to Cass?
That's true. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, who knows? We'll see. Only time will tell. Because, this is a good episode, but all it takes is one or two fucked up bad ones, and you're like, oh, I see y'all gonna be scrambling to wrap this one up. So we'll see.
You're right.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think that's it for TV talk. There aren't any other shows, are there?
Because 66 I canceled, so there you go. Yeah.
Cancellation.
So that was good.
It was starting to get interesting now. I mean, tonight's episode was interesting, but it was like, shit, don't matter. It don't matter what y'all do now, because we ain't going to ever find out, because the show's done.
It's a wrap.
Good. It's too bad. It was a good show. It really was.
It was a good premise. I wouldn't necessarily say it was a good show.
It was a good premise that they didn't execute well at all.
Yeah.
No. You know, here's what I will say. I will say the pilot was okay, lukewarm. The preceding two or three eps were kind of like, eh. But the last eps were good.
No, those preceding two or three eps were bad. Let's just keep it real. Yeah, they were bad.
Two and three were bad. And that's why they got canceled.
Yeah. It was too bad. They found their footing. They just found it too late. Because the last few eps were pretty goddamn good.
Yeah, especially one tonight where they found Jane and she don't remember what the hell's going on. Come to find out it's multiple people going down those steps and coming out not remembering nothing. Yeah.
Nah, I'm cool. So, yeah.
clearly so was everybody else, because wasn't nobody watching it anyways but right. us.
Right.
Yeah, right.
So, coming out this week, we have Hitchcock on wide release. I believe it was released this weekend on limited release. And this coming weekend on wide release. And The Collection. We talked about both of these before on the show pretty extensively. So everyone, go check both of those out. You know, I feel like Hitchcock is going to get a pretty decent showing at the box office.
Oh, Hitchcock is going for that Oscar bait. Let's
right. I feel like no one's going to go see The Collection. So if any of y'all are out there listening, y'all got to choose between the two. Go see The Collection. Like, pay for The Collection ticket and hit the double feature John and go see Hitchcock for the good free.
So. And I don't even think that's not even on some like duty stuff, like, out of any kind of like obligation or horror. The Collection is going to be good. Like, it's going to be a good flick, because the first one was good and they got more money. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I think it's going to be intense and I think it's going to be cool. So go check that out. Another something that we had talked about before in this show, we did our Asian show. We talked about a Korean film called The Host. It's probably like hour 2:43. So half of y'all probably didn't even get that far and shit. they made a sequel to it called The Host 2. And some early footage has been released and looks really good. The monster is a little bit more CGI this time, but looks good.
Well, in the one clip we see, it's completely CGI.
Right.
My only complaint is that, once again, it looks like it's going to snatch a little girl.
Yeah, now you're right. Unless, like, something hits it. I don't know.
Or it jumps over the girl to snag the boy this time.
Right. And give you a little switch up for you.
In host 3, it'll snag the mother. And in host 4, it'll snag the father.
Just going to keep switching back.
Were they even, I mean, do we even know if they're even pulling back some people from the original cast that survived?
I'm not sure. Like, I
because the one that played the daughter, she was in Cloud Atlas.
I didn't see that shit.
Yeah,
that
Cloud Atlas. Yeah, she was an Asian chick in one of the stories, yeah.
Was she the Asian chick in the very last one with Halle Berry? Was an Asian dude?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, that was her, Duna Bay, or Bay Duna, I don't know how she pronounces her name, but yeah. She was in the host. I think she played the archer in the first one. Yeah, so I think, she was in Cloud Atlas, so I was wondering how they're going to work that out since, you know, she's now probably doing more international work. Would they even be able to bring her back if they brought her back? So
that'd be cool. A little continuity.
Yeah. So. But who knows? We won't really know until this comes out.
Right. That's just not coming out till late next year, right?
Yeah. Well, over there, we don't even know if it even make it.
True indeed. Who knows how long it takes?
Because the first one,
come out in theaters over here.
Like, yeah. Because the first one only came out in theaters because people were hyping it up and talking about it.
Yeah.
Right.
So who knows? But you know, of course, Hollywood is making that remake. They got the remake on lock.
Ugh. Whatever. Y'all know how I feel about that type of shit.
We saw what they did with the girl with the dragon tattoo.
They stylized the fuck out of it. The story was
amazing. Well, it's David Fincher. What do you expect?
Yeah, she was incredibly stylized.
No 2 and 3 though.
Yet.
But by all done.
Ah, yet. Somebody gonna get that money right.
Well, the problem is they didn't make enough money. The first one didn't make enough money for them to warrant doing the other two immediately after the first one came out.
That's what I'm saying. Because we talked about this earlier. I think Fincher's gonna leverage somebody and saying, "Look, if I direct this one, you gotta let me do part 2. You gotta let me do the girl kick the hornet's nose."
He'll probably have leverage and do part 2 and 3. He might as well just keep, because he was even talking about, you know, if it's gonna happen, we're just gonna do 2 and 3 back to back and just be done with it.
Probably, I'm pretty sure you're right.
That's the way he should do it. I mean, if you're going to do it, let him do them.
Yeah, they should have done the whole trilogy like that. Like,
I agree.
They should have done Lord of the Rings.
The Lord of the Rings. True. I mean, everybody involved was ready for it, too.
Lock everybody up for 18 months and just knock them all out.
Well, speaking of shit like that, you like how The Hobbit has gone from 1 movie to 2 movies to now
That's
3
some
movies?
Bullshit. I can't believe Peter Jackson fucking made a movie about the shit that did nobody read in the book in the first place.
from what I understand, there's characters that are like major parts of entire movies that are like in the book for 3 pages.
It's, I talked it's a straight to my wife money about grab. That's all it is.
She didn't understand why I was pissed off. I'm like, dude, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, there's tons of source material. The Hobbit has literally a third of the source material. You can't do the same amount of film on a third of source material. But apparently you can. Apparently you can. So, yeah.
Yeah, this is one of a few occasions where, like, normally I would want Peter Jackson to win, but now I'm like, really, dude? You went in for that check? I don't know if I want you to win.
Right. Like,
the only thing I'm hoping the war at the end of the book is an entire movie. Like, literally, it should have its own movie with all, when everybody shows up.
They may. Let's see.
That'll be the only justification even when a third movie. Like, that third movie should be the battle.
Well, the biggest thing is the 48 revolutions per minute.
I don't. Does anybody? Are people really caring about that?
Like, well, I don't think most people know it, though.
Well, people who've seen it have been disturbed by it. They do not like it. It's not It's not being reviewed well.
Yeah, it's too clear.
It's a prop. Everything is a fake. Everyone's wearing a wig. Everyone's hairline is glued on. Everyone's wearing a glue-on mustache. You can see everything.
Right. If a fly is in the back of the scene, you see it. You can see where the cameras, like, you can see where the fake light set up. Like, even if they're standing outside, you can see where the fake lights are set up because it's that clear.
Wow. So yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah, and I don't think the theaters are going to push for it, so I think it'll probably have to just come out in the regular 24, call it a day.
Well, they claimed it was going to come out in like 24, 24 3D, 48, 48 3D, IMAX, all this shit. There were going to be like 5 or 6 versions of the movie.
That is the money grab right there.
Right. I doubt that the 48.
I doubt as well, but the original idea was to just release them all, even, and you know, the 48 3D IMAX or whatever is going to get a limited release, but Peter Jackson really feels strongly about it, and he wants people to see it as he meant it to be.
But the problem is the fucking screen in and of itself, like the machine to show it is a ton of money. And they're not subsidizing that shit. Like, you have to go out and buy this special piece of equipment to show one movie. This is the only movie on the market right now that is shot in 48. Like, I don't know what theater, what struggling theater is going to spend thousands of dollars to show one movie.
None.
Right. Like, they're already hitting you for $14 worth of popcorn. Who's going to fuck around and then finance, you know, $5,000 for one projector? It's just not happening.
$550.
Right. Well, that's my point. You know, you're just not coming up with that sort of money. It's not going to happen. So, moving on to the next piece of horror that is coming out. There was a trailer that if you are not a faint of heart, you'll check it out. It's called The ABCs of Death. I believe it's 26 short vignettes of death and horror. The trailer in and of itself is really fucked up. Really, really fucked up.
It's awesome.
Carl says it's awesome. Scott, what do you think?
I think it's a little too crazy for my own taste. I mean, there are parts of it that are really cool, but man, I can't see this thing getting a wide release and getting a lot of support at all. It's just, I mean, there's a claymation scene of a toilet that eats people, and it's pretty wild.
Really, out of all the shit in the trailer, you're picking up on the claymation toilet.
It's yeah, that's, oh yeah, there, I mean, there's damn near anything and everything in that trailer, but yes, that's the part that I remember the most.
Yeah, I was just like, what the fuck? What the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah, the whole trip. And by the end, you're just like, what?
I'm surprised there wasn't any talking penis.
Hey.
Hey, there might be.
They might have just saved that for the movie.
Right.
It looks like someone took the concept of VHS and ran with it. Like, ran real far.
Uh-huh. And it added 20.
26 shorts. I mean, these things are only going to be like 3.5 minutes a piece.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I will say this. I was pleasantly surprised by VHS, and so I don't want to shit on this too bad. But I don't know. I don't see how it turns out good. I can't see it.
VHS had like 6 directors, man. And, you know, you had differing ideas and different degrees of quality. So now you have 26. There's going to be some real stinkers in that motherfucker.
Yep.
Like sitting in a hot tub with a big-ass piece of poop floating up to the top. Like, there's going to be some stinkers in there. Yeah, so, well, real quick, let me get a little consensus. Who's going to see this?
I ain't going to pay for it, but I'll see it.
I ain't paying for it. I'm not going to see it. Fuck that.
So
pass.
I'm going to send Ryan 26 links to every fucking short once they're online.
And I will delete every fucking one.
Hey, that's his website now.
I'm about to say, you're not trying to get no clicks on the website, dog?
And I will entitle them, Ryan, check out this hot guy.
And I would delete them. He's stupid as fuck, and I would delete every single one. I don't think y'all understand how I love to use my delete key. I got that down to a science. But I think that's some bullshit that gets deleted. So you go ahead and send them all. Send them all.
ABC's a definite B. So Ryan's not excited to see this. Tony?
Nope. I can't do it.
Scott?
I feel like I would give it a shot if I hear that it got good reviews and some horror sites and the horror critics like it and it's something that I need to see, but I probably will still at least wait till it comes out, and even then I may not get to it.
I feel like I'm going to check it out, but I'm pretty sure I'll be incredibly disappointed by this show. Yeah. 26 is too much. I think they're just being incredibly ambitious, and I 26 is too much. Let's move off of ABCs because I think none of us are really, really excited to see it. We just think it's too big of a chance. And move into our classic portion. An hour later, the classic portion of the show.
This is where
we can wrap it up in under 2 hours. Holler.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm going to bow out because I didn't see any of these. So
you didn't see any of them.
I was trying to catch up on the shows, and I had some chores I had to catch up on, so no.
Chores to catch up on.
Yeah. So I will bid you all a fond farewell.
All right, so thanks a lot, man.
Later.
Thank you. Peace.
Later.
So we are going to get into the 1922 classic Nosferatu, where a Max Schreck plays Count Orlok. This is a silent film, and it was directed by F.W. Murnau, and it is one of the earliest visual tellings of the story of Dracula. It is really fucking great. I don't know any other way to just put it. I just felt like this was a great fucking film.
All right, a little history on this movie and the next one we're going to talk about, and that they're both based off of the book Dracula, written by Bram Stoker.
Bram Stoker, yep.
The book was written in 1897. Now, Bram Stoker has nothing to do with the invention of vampires whatsoever. Vampires have gone back so far that they can't even tell you where the whole original thing got started. And if they do try to tell you, they're lying because they can't prove it, because there's so many from so many different directions. It's like it's literally been around forever.
Yeah. The idea of a vampire.
Right. To the point where even in England, when he was a child growing up, it was rumored that if a suicide victim didn't have a stake through its heart and was decapitated when buried, it could come back as a vampire. And this is when Bram Stoker was a little kid. So you're talking like 1840 or sooner.
Right.
And he's already hearing this crap. And they could not be buried in the normal graveyard. They had a different section for suicide victims that could come back as vampires. The first novel is actually, I think, called I, Vampire, that features a vampire, and that came out in 1819. So 80 years earlier was actually the first novel. But this one is the main story that we all know that has been adapted so many times, and that was illegally used without permission for Nosferatu, to the point where Stoker's widow actually sued the company, and they claimed bankruptcy, so they didn't have to pay her anything. But her lawyers did manage to get a hold of supposedly about 95% of the copies of these movies and have them destroyed. Now, wow. What I don't know is when this actually took place, because the original movie Nosferatu was released overseas in 1922. Mm-hmm. It didn't actually get released in America until 1929.
Wow.
And that's all I got for the history part there.
It's a hell of a history.
And normally I give financials, but these movies we're doing are so old, there's literally nothing I can even look up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
You know, one of the first thing that you notice about this movie is the score.
Yes.
The score is, it's not just fitting and, you know, kind of dark. It's fucking beautiful, man. There are piano solos in this that are incredible. There's a scene, you know, where the lady's out at the beach and the piano that comes on out of the beach. I was like, this is some good shit. The music in that movie would rival some of the best music in any of the movies that are out today. And, you know, that was one of the things that I absolutely loved about it. Scott, you saw this?
I did. It's effectively creepy. That's my simple, short review of it. I think this is the best representation of the Dracula story that I've seen.
Mm.
It just works. You don't need. It's just these old movies when they work, they're just. It shows the power of filmmaking with the simplicity that you can go into a film, just make something. You don't need anything but the visuals. I mean, Orlok is frightening as hell.
Yep.
Oh yeah.
The way the shadow casts on the wall, the way he moves, the way he just everything he does is just terrifying. And you don't hear a thing. You just see him. It's all visual. And that's what makes it even more powerful.
Yeah. I mean, the very first time you see him.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It's just, you know, and that look has been, if you guys have seen Salem's Lot, the vampire in Salem's Lot got the inspiration directly from this Count Orlok.
Oh, yeah. It's like an updated
version of Orlok.
Yeah, you know, obviously I think all of us have seen a lot of vampire movies. It was nothing as captivating as seeing this dude. You know, and just everything about it was just done so well. The death ship scene, you know, especially in contrast to the death ship in Dracula. My goodness. So much better. So much more well done. You know, the fact that they couldn't rely on, you know, shitty lines and some deranged dude in the bottom of the cabin or whatever the fuck that was all about in Dracula. But Nosferatu is just a really, really well done fucking movie. They even brought in science, man. They had science shit going on in there. I was like, where the fuck did that come from?
Did you guys know the original release is 13 minutes longer than what we watched?
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And Max Schreck is also seen in the very beginning of the film out of vampire makeup as a normal person.
That's kind of cool.
That is actually kind of cool.
He's seen for a brief second in Knock's office when he calls Hutter in to give him the assignment of going to see the Count.
Oh, so he pulled a Stan Lee, put himself in the film somewhere.
And when he was playing Orlok, he tried like hell to never blink, and apparently he only blinks one time
in all of
his vampire appearances. There's only one blink.
That's crazy. Like the scene where he pops up out of the coffin on the ship.
Like, yeah, where he just sits straight up.
Yeah, like obviously they had him like on a board or something where he popped up. That is one of the most seminal visions in all of horror history. And it was incredibly scary.
Just it's funny because we're gonna obviously discuss Dracula next, which was filmed later in the US. And this movie, special effects wise, so blows Dracula out of the water. It's just downright ridiculous.
I mean, we can talk about both of them at this point. I mean, Dracula was done in 1931. Bela Lugosi, pedophile looking Dracula.
Pedophile vampire with no teeth.
Sandusky looking.
Yeah, yeah. He definitely got the Sandusky face.
I don't honestly know how he got pigeonholed into that role, because that role was just so fucking horrible.
Yeah, it was awful.
He's got no teeth.
Nope.
He looks like a fucking maitre d'.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing. There's no horror. There's no scare. There's no him being fucking creepy other than looking like an old perv.
Yep.
It's just borderline ridiculous. I mean, he doesn't even physically bite anyone in the film. No. The only time in Dracula that we even hear anything about bite marks is the one 25-second scene in the morgue.
Yeah, when you're talking about the two precise bite marks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't even see it. It's just mentioned. And literally, the special effects for Dracula is literally a rubber bat on a fucking string. You don't see anybody turn from a bat to a human. You don't see anybody vanish. You don't see anything. There's nothing there. Where in Nosferatu, you've got unbelievable fucking creepy shadow work. You've got the sitting up from the coffin. You've got a transparent Nosferatu sitting on a box in the ship, like looking at his foot as he's just kicking it back and forth, like he's just chilling out, waiting for the sun to drop so he can bite this guy's ass. And the guy sees it and starts freaking out. Just crazy stuff. And there's all this good stuff in this movie, which probably had a budget, you know, back then of a whopping $200. And then you've got this major Hollywood production that happened almost 10 years later that's a steaming pile of crap.
Yeah. It was bad. Yeah, my aunt and I were talking about this.
Yet that pile of crap defined an actor's career.
Well, it also became, like I said, like Dracula was like the seminal work.
I never understood that because it was so horrible.
As of Bram Stoker's Dracula, which is fucking ridiculous because that movie is terrible. I know a lot of people hail it as a classic, and some of y'all out there might get mad. I don't give a shit. I felt like Dracula was terrible. Nosferatu was great. You know, my aunt and I were talking about this a couple days ago. It's like the acting that Bela Lugosi and everybody else has, you know, was like they were in a silent film. All of their facial expressions and everything, they were overacting so much as if you couldn't hear them. But you could. They just fucking sucked. The girl with the craziness and, like, even the way that Dracula would call to them, you know, was handled so much better in Nosferatu. Dracula was just a jumbled piece of mess.
Yep.
Well, you know, one thing I did like about Dracula, you know, I know a lot of people who aren't big horror movie fans, and Dracula to me is one of those movies that I think would be a slow introduction into horror. It's not particularly, you know, it doesn't interest us and it doesn't hold up very well to us because we've seen a lot of shit. But to someone who is interested to maybe jump into horror, this one is, I feel it's like a horror 101. It's not, I don't know how to put this, because now that I'm saying this, it probably sounds like I'm saying it's a classic, because I didn't hate the movie, but I don't necessarily like it either. I think it's a slow intro for someone who might want to check more things out to see how far horror has come since the beginning by letting them in so easy.
But if that's the case, then they can go with the more challenging intro of Nosferatu and start there.
Yeah, I just feel like Nosferatu is just so much better.
I mean, Nosferatu, for me, it was like, I'm literally watching a silent movie, and like, even without the words, I know exactly what's going on. It's effectively creepy. Everything was perfect. Dude, it was like...
creeping through the town with the coffin slung under his fucking arm and just blowing out looking around, you're just like, Jesus, if I saw that in the street, I'd shit my pants and book.
Right. You know, and the thing is, you knew that they couldn't shoot at night. Like, they didn't have the technology to shoot at night. All they were doing was shooting in the daytime. They still looked good.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, given it was made, like, so long ago, I mean, that Nosferatu is better than a shitload of movies out now. Let's be really, seriously, just better quality. It was just really, really good. Dracula was just, like, a joke to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just, and I never understand, still to this day, don't understand why it's the standard, because it was just bad.
It's real bad.
I mean, it's like, bad. Everything is just glaringly obvious, like, bad makeup, the acting, the writing, just everything. It was, I mean,
like Carl was saying, that damn bat. The bat on a string was so shitty. And, like, the death scene. His death takes place off camera.
Yeah, I was like, okay, I kind of want to see the death scene because that's what happens in a Dracula movie. Yeah, Dracula, the vampire dies. You know, we see it.
You don't even get the bulging eyeball, you know, grabbing for my chest scene. We got nothing.
Right. You know, Van Helsing is in the back stabbing him while you're looking at the dude. And Dracula's like, he's just getting stabbed off screen. You hear him groaning. What the fuck? This is supposed to be the Prince of Darkness. This motherfucker, he's supposed to be the biggest, baddest dude around. And we don't even get to see him get killed?
Yeah, but I didn't get that.
The whole thing is the whole Dracula, the whole universal monster mix you got going on with, you know, Dracula, Wolfman,
right.
Frankenstein, and the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Mm-hmm.
Dracula, without a doubt, is now the weakest in my mind after watching the original. This whole,
yeah.
I mean, the original Wolfman, it's old, but it's still good. The original creature from Black Lagoon is fucking fantastic. One of my all-time favorites, but that's because of the makeup work. And Frankenstein would be my number two. Again, great story, great makeup, just all around a decent movie.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein are really great classics.
Yes. I can't say that for the follow-ups, the creature for the Black Lagoon, because those things got downright pathetic.
But Dracula was supposed to be the first.
And
you know what I mean? Like, this is,
well,
this
and
is a
now,
piece.
Now with the vampire craze that has hit the entertainment Hollywood world, people probably have, a lot of people might have been going back to check out Dracula and don't even realize that Nosferatu is the real deal.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it's the more Hollywood version, I suppose, of the vampire. You know, it, when you still to this day, the Bela Lugosi Dracula is the vampire that people associate with Dracula and vampires.
Yeah, it's true. That's very, very true.
Unfortunately.
You're absolutely right. I think I'm just frustrated because out of those two movies, there just seems to be a very clear-cut, you know, better film, and that one's not recognized as highly.
Mm-hmm. Well, among horror fans, it usually is.
Right.
General population, it wouldn't surprise me if 65% of them didn't even know what the fuck Nosferatu was.
Right. That it even existed.
Even though it was remade in 1979, but I did not see the remake. I don't want to see the remake because the original was already good. You didn't need to redo it.
There's no reason to change that. The music is great. The mood is great. Count Orlok is creepy and good. You know, the way he reacts when dude cuts his hands, so good. Everything about it. Man. Precious blood. And even this death scene. You know, I like the death scene. I like the way it plays out.
Getting drawn back.
So, you know, again, great film. Would love to see a lot of other people go check it out.
and just kind of get into it because I think it deserves more props. So
it is on Netflix streaming.
Yes, it is.
And when you are viewing this, remember, this thing is 90 freaking years old, people. 90. So don't be expecting, you know, like Twilight, because it's not going to be that.
Right.
There won't be any glittery-ass vampires up in that
movie. Count Orlok would fuck everyone up in that movie.
Yeah.
Just the snap of his fingers.
Count Orlok is a genuinely scary character, man.
Oh, yeah.
But I cannot say the same about any of it. Look, and that's the other thing. The vampires aren't scary now. They're sexy.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, with True Blood, Twilight.
Right. Right. All that shit. Vampires are sexy.
They're never supposed to be sexy.
Like, they can control you.
What was the vampire private eye TV show there that lasted 2 seasons? The guy who went to Hawaii 5-0. Moonlight or something? It was called.
I don't even know what you're saying. I didn't.
Oh, you mean a TV show?
Yeah, the guy from Hawaii 5-0 was up.
Yeah.
What was it called?
It's called Moonlight.
Oh, it is called Moonlight?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was, I think, scary twice in that whole show.
He can't act worth a damn, though. Shit. That's the one thing I've been aware of with him. Like, he just... Like, he's a like the TV version of Sam Worthington, just can't fucking act to save his life.
He's got one character in his wheelhouse, and he can't...
Right!
He can't go anywhere past that. It's always the same fucking person with a different haircut and a shirt, you know?
Pretty much. I mean, that's why they put, you know, the whole Hawaii 5-0, basically, the whole everyone else on the cast kind of, like, is better than him. So they just... It makes sense. Like, that. I mean, I feel like that show is successful because... of everybody else on the show than him. I mean, it's bad. But yeah, I mean, I think vampires can be sexy, but they should be terrifying as also. You can't have one or the other. They need, you know, you need to have both.
I think that's the allure. You know, if you can't, I shouldn't say they can't be sexy because I think they're supposed to be sexy. Like, you're supposed to be drawn to them.
Right, you're supposed to be terrified of him, but you also, like, if, you know, on a good night, you're like, I know he might kill me, but he might fuck me real good, too. Like, he might beat it up just the way I want it, but he might drain me afterwards or during. But, right, he look real good.
What did you guys actually think of Bram Stoker's Dracula, the movie Bram Stoker's Dracula?
You know what, honestly, I felt like it was boring.
Wait, the one with Winona Ryder and Keanu Reeves? That one?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was gory unnecessarily so. Like, for me, it was like, I get it. It was, you know, you're going by the book, the source material. But it just seemed unnecessarily violent. It was like, I get it. You know, we get it.
But didn't it feel like, you know, especially if you've seen Dracula, the Bela Lugosi one, some of those scenes were identical. And, you know, they just, I don't know. Like, obviously, that movie is better than the Bela Lugosi Dracula.
Oh, hell yeah. Gary Oldman put in that work.
I actually like the movie, and I think he perfectly balanced the sexy with the scary, because you've got this, you know, suave guy with his top hat, you know, I've traveled the seas of time to be with you. You know, sweeping the women off to their feet, and then you piss him off and you corner him, and he's this 9-foot fucking tall gigantic bat thing that will eat your face and the rest of you later.
You know, he definitely got the let me talk you out your sugar walls. He got that portion down.
When he was the wolf banging the piss out of the roommate out in the garden.
You know, well, that was one of the things that, you know. They did all of that. They did the transmodification of the wolf, the bat, the man,
and pile of rats.
Right. All of that shit. The vermin. Because, mm-hmm. you know, the vermin were supposed to be part of all of that.
The only thing I personally didn't like about the Bram Stoker Dracula film was they completely tied in Vlad the Impaler.
Yeah.
Which literally Bram Stoker took the name, well, took Vlad's grandfather's name or father's name, which was like the Dracon, which is like son of the dragon, and turned that into the word Dracula. Other than that, he just kind of, here's a guy over in Transylvania with a castle, Count Dracula. And he did do research on Vlad. They actually had found not too long ago, I think it was like about 18 years ago, people were actually going to do research on Vlad the Impaler in Europe, and they went to the National Library or whatever, and they pulled out all these old ancient books, and they cracked one open, and one of the books was filled with Bram Stoker's notes
on everything
Vlad that he was planning on using from the books for his book.
Hmm.
I was just, that's in a documentary that also is right now on Netflix. It's called Dracula, the Vlad, and something else.
I mean,
it's under the documentaries.
Okay. I mean, because they say, like, if you go to Wikipedia or anything like that, like, they name Vlad the Impaler as Dracula.
Not if you read anything else or look into it. He liked the idea, but nothing. Because Vlad the Impaler was called Vlad the Impaler because he literally did nasty things with spikes of people.
Oh, I'm quite aware of where the name came from.
Yeah. And,
when I mean nasty, I mean real nasty. Like, he had them oil up the spikes so they could jam them up your asshole and then out the side of your neck. And then put you up on the spike after it's already been rammed up through you so he could sit out there and eat his dinner and watch you slowly die with a spike rammed up your shithole.
It's pretty bad, bro. It's bad business.
There's a whole movie on that, too, by the way.
Was that the one with Billy Zane? Because there was a one on Chiller called Vlad, and it was like sort of about Vlad the Impaler. And that shit was hilarious. Oh, my God. I was like, God damn, Billy Zane, what the fuck did you do to your career? Who did you piss off to be doing these movies?
That would have been what's-his-face from the Titanic.
Damn, Jim Cameron got that iron fist.
And what did he do?
I don't know.
I just heard he was a complete dick douche on the entire set of the Titanic. Like, he was the number one star and his shit didn't stink.
Because of the Phantom?
I don't know.
Well, but man, I do remember hearing like Kate Winslet just was like, nah, you can go ahead somewhere else with that shit. She's not a big fan.
From what I also heard is the whole spit in the face was not in the script.
Oh.
I heard he decided to add that to make it look more real.
That's pretty gangster.
You see. Oh, that's so, right. He spit in her face.
Yeah, he spit dead in her face.
Ooh.
That's pretty gangster.
I wonder how that went, because when she was younger back then, she had no filter and was known for going off on your ass in a heartbeat.
Yeah, they said she was. Yeah.
I mean, like, talking about going in, like, this was a white woman that went in often.
Well, they used to call her Chubbs.
Back yeah, that's true. She used to like call her out and all that stuff.
Her British acting career, she started off as a chubby actress.
Yeah.
So she learned to stand up for herself, fairly early on.
Yeah, I remember.
So she wasn't willing to take it.
Because I forget where I was reading something where it was like, Billy Zane got in her face. I think it was after the spitting incident, and Carl himself was going to try and bully her around, and she's trying to swing on his ass. And everybody was like, oh, we can't have that.
Write your character right on out.
Wow. Yeah, it was like, God damn. Like, just bad. God damn, Billy. Fucking around with Jim Cameron. You know he going to pop you in the face, the Iron Fist. God damn.
It could be worse, you know what I mean?
There's a website called Billy Zane Sucks.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
And it's just every post is just tearing him a new one.
You are absolutely right. It's a WordPress. That's pretty tough, man. You know, because clearly he's a talented dude.
Yeah, he can act. I mean, it's just. Dickhead. Yeah. I don't know.
One of these posts says Mark Wahlberg said hi to Billy Zane's mom and then he fucked her.
How's your mother? Say hi to your mother for me.
That's Billy Zane stole my pants because he wants everyone to know his dick is bigger than my dick. What?
Oh, what? What?
Don't
what,
sound what good.
The fuck? That don't I sound don't right. Know. Wow.
Billy Zane makes you work overtime so he can go to your house and have sex with your pets. If you don't have pets, that's even worse. He inappropriately masturbates into your shampoo bottles and laughs the next day at the water cooler.
What the fuck?
Jesus. Okay. What the fuck? I have no clue where that came from.
I have
it's
nothing.
It's all on Billy Zane's
I
sucks.
Have
nothing. Yeah, I ain't got nothing for that, man.
Y'all
three out of five
out
crimes like... against the elderly are instigated by Billy Zane.
Jesus.
Wow.
This is all just random goofy shit and pictures of his bald head.
Sounds racist. Stop.
There's more hate on this website than our show.
So, y'all know that shit is...
Speaking of which, here's the post from April 3rd, 2008. Billy Zane started racism. Billy Zane is responsible for racism, and here's why. Number one, Billy Zane supports Hillary Clinton. Number two, this means he hates Barack Obama. Number three, hating Obama means he hates black people. Number four, hating black people is racist. Number five, so Billy Zane is a racist. That's all we got. Wow. Stupid shit.
I don't have a lot for that. So.
I don't either.
Slashes for Nosferatu. Scott?
What are we doing out of 10?
Yeah, out of 10.
I'll go 8.
Okay.
As would I.
Okay.
Me too. 8.
I'm going to go higher. I'm going to go 8.5.
Wow. Big spender with that high rating.
Fuck it. Let's go 9. I'll go 9. I'll give it 9 for the music.
You can't give it 9 for the music.
Yes, I can.
He just did.
That's right.
Every person has different music. The music is supplied by... It was an actual silent film, so when this was shown in the theaters,
right,
there was an actual person on a piano.
Exactly.
The stage.
Exactly. But my experience watching it had a particular set of music to it. So, therefore, I rate my experience a 9.
Now, did you watch the Netflix streaming version, or did you watch another version?
No, I watched the streaming version.
Just checking.
Mm-hmm. So, y'all might hear the same music I heard, and I enjoyed the shit out of it. Dracula slashes. Ugh.
2.
Damn.
1.
Scott.
Oh boy. Man, you guys are being harsh. I was going to go.
You were going to say 6, weren't you?
I was going to
say
6.
You know he was.
I was going to say 6. Yeah. I go 6.
A fucking turd.
Right?
It's not that bad. I mean, 6, I mean, 6 to me isn't great, but I don't know. I mean, I didn't hate the movie. You guys were like shit on it. I didn't hate it.
I think more than anything, especially if you watch these films really closely together, Dracula just comes off as hokey.
See now, okay. See, that's the thing. Okay, for when we were preparing for this show, or when I was preparing for this, I had not seen Nosferatu. I had seen Dracula, and I haven't watched Dracula for, you know, a while. So you guys watched them back to back, right? I mean, you guys watched them like this past week or the past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand completely where you're coming from, because if you had watched them both for the first time, so close together, I could easily see how Nosferatu is eons better than Dracula.
Yeah, one definitely colors the other, man.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Nosferatu.
And what I was going to say, I was going to say 6, but you know, between five and six, like a 5.5. I don't know. Five to me is average, so I think it's just slightly better than that.
Hmm. All right. And you still think Nosferatu only gets an 8 then?
I do.
Okay. I'm going to go 3. Threeve. Yes, Threeve.
Already then.
Yeah, I didn't love it, but, you know, man. Definitely didn't love it, but, you know.
The best thing about Dracula was that set of stairs. That's it.
I said the exact same thing. I said, this is the best shot of the entire movie.
Mm-hmm.
The stair scene. And then they cut away from the fucking killing in it.
And I would personally love to know how many swashbuckler movies feature that set of stairs. Because there's no way they built that for that movie.
No.
That was something on the back lot.
That had to be a Three Musketeer, Earl Flynn, something.
It's for those of you who haven't watched the movie and are going to torture yourself with doing it, it's this huge, epic set of stone stairs that has a slight curve to it, like around a giant, huge stone pillar. It's, you know, something you'd expect to see Errol Flynn sword fighting on.
You won't be able to miss it. It's literally the best shot scene of the entire movie.
And the second to best shot scene in the entire movie would be in the Count's castle.
Mm-hmm.
Another great, fantastic set, totally underused, with bad, just a total bad scene. It's just, the scene is, there's nothing special about it. Even the point where he pricks his finger and draws blood, that scene sucks ass in comparison to the same exact scene in Nosferatu.
Yep. The set design was actually much grander in Dracula.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like you said, the scenes themselves were just so poorly acted. Less is more.
The worst part is I watched Dracula, and you've got Renfield in there.
Yeah.
This he.
You know what? That was one of the things that really turned me off. Like, that really turned me off about Dracula. Renfield's acting, and like, look at his eyes. He's clearly gone mad. Get the fuck out of here.
But the funniest part was we had this big-time executive from our corporation swing by the very next day at our office and buy us all lunch. And a dude was like 5'3" and looked like Renfield. And all I could think of every time he opened his mouth to talk was...
Seeing him at the bottom of the steps in a boat and shit?
Yep.
Laughing hard as fuck. Yeah, like, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. It never really, you know. His whole character is, didn't like it. Van Helsing was kind of cool, I guess.
Eh.
Right. Eh. Yeah, I don't know. Just Dracula, 3 slashes for me. Nothing more.
It honestly looks like there was more to the movie. They cut it up so badly, it just doesn't even make sense anymore.
I mean, if there was a director's version out there, I may be, you know, coerced into seeing it.
No, I'm not.
I mean, this movie is just so universally hailed, man. I feel like, you know, I need to find out what the fuss is about. I need to see it. I need to feel it.
Yeah, what did we miss?
Right. Like, clearly we missed something that everybody else seems to get and love.
No, you watched it next to a better movie. That's all.
I guess so. And that could just be enough. That in and of itself could be more than enough. You know, if you've only had Coke Zero your whole life, but then all of a sudden someone gave you Coke and then gave you Coke Zero right after, like, Coke Zero fucking sucks.
Right.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Well, I just found out something. 10 minutes taken out.
Yeah, 10 minutes taken out of Dracula?
says original runtime was over 85 minutes and the reissue is only just over 75 minutes.
Right. So was that extra 10 minutes of Bela Lugosi licking little boy's ears and shit?
Or was it Renfield in the plot line that's all diced up in the middle?
Talking about taint. Who knows? That one slid in on me.
So, are we going to watch Dracula's Daughter, the sequel made 5 years later?
Nope.
Nope.
Or Son of Dracula, the next sequel?
Nope. I mean, Carl, I know that you wanted to just really quickly talk about Shadow of the Vampire. Or not.
I'm sorry. Whenever I cough, I mute the mic. Shadow of the Vampire is an interesting take. The whole gist of the film is, what if Max von Schreck, the actor who played Count Orgo or whatever his name is,
Orlok,
was actually a real vampire? Like, they put out the casting call for, we need someone to play a vampire, and they got an actual vampire to show up. I'm going to cough again.
Okay.
That's crazy.
It's got some great actors in it. It's a definitely interesting twist. You see a little bit of behind the camera work of what they had to work with back in those days. And I'll just say, if you can find it, it's worth a watch. It's got William Dafoe in it playing Max von Schreck. So right there, you know, the acting chops are in. I think Ryan said that he might have been up for an Oscar on that one.
Yeah, he got a Best Supporting Actor nomination.
And the always talented and funny Eddie Izzard is in it also, I think, playing Renfield.
Yeah, and John Malkovich is in it too, right?
Yeah. He's a director, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yes, he's the director. So you got a great cast. I easily give it a 7. It's interesting. Go see it. Tell us what you think on one of the friggin' websites. Give us some goddamn feedback for once, people.
Go to the fan page. Hit us up on Twitter. So, yeah, all those things.
Leave comments.
Comment, review, go to iTunes.
Comment.
Write your review on a $20 bill. Fold it up. Put it in an envelope.
Let's make it happen, people. We want to interact with you.
That's right.
So, yeah, I think that's about it for this show. Yeah, anything else you guys want to say before we get out of here?
No. See you next time.
All right, see you. iTunes, getouttheroom.podomatic.com, Stitcher Radio, Wicked Radio Network, everywhere. Go listen to us. You know, you're in your post-Thanksgiving malaise. You know, you're probably tired of tryptophan, but you got so much of it, you got to eat it for another couple of days. Put us on at work. Get out the room. We got you. So, for all the guys, everybody, man, thanks for listening, and we will catch y'all next time.
Peace. Yep.
See ya.
See ya.
I'm the vampire. I have existed for centuries in legend, in fantasy, in men's minds, and some say in reality. You must believe in me for me to exist, but those who have chosen to deny my existence have sometimes found me a most deadly enemy. I live by night, seeking fresh new blood to flow in my rather cold veins. Many of my victims have joined my unholy legion of the undead, becoming creatures without souls, living only for hideous torment. science on this planet cannot destroy me. The infected blood of the vampire was carried to Earth millions of years ago by the Tubatan vampire men of a distant galaxy far beyond this solar system. The strange chromatic radiations of deep, dark space have created many ghastly mutations while they turn the air and everything in it into a one-colored mass of yellow, green, blue, or blood red. Vampires spreads out. Only knowledge learned from studying the original Tubatan vampires can save the planet Earth from bloody ruin. But no space scientists have yet returned from the world of the Tubatan vampires alive. And right now, the infamous Dr. Reining is planning a top secret space mission in quest of a little dangerous knowledge.